And welcome to Lighthouse Community Church. 3 weeks ago, one of our elders, Dr. Jason Ho, spoke about musical worship, about how it was important for our lives individually as well as corporately for our church family. 2 weeks ago, we started our mini-series titled Seeing Christ in the Pages of the Bible. And Dr. Scott Yoshikawa preached on seeing how God was writing his story all the way from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse, Revelation 22, verse 21. And within this story, it's talking about how his Savior, his own Son, was going to save this world. And last week, we continued our series on seeing Christ in the Old Testament as doctor-to-be, Josh Kira, preached about how Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament revelation, Old Testament salvation, and Old Testament hope. And as I look back and I was preparing for the message this week, I was like saying to myself, hello, Gavin. Obviously, someone wasn't planning properly preaching after three doctors. That's why you don't have the doctorate, okay? And so I may not be as smart as these three guys, but I'm smart enough to have them preach these tough messages. Because this morning we're going to continue our series on seeing Christ in the Gospels. Could it be any easier? Jesus and the Gospels? Who's the smart one now? Okay. But again, what I'm going to do is not even go through all four Gospels. I'm just going to take a look at one parable of how Jesus is going to preach and to explain this kingdom message that he's giving. So what we have here, though, in our mini-series is learning that God is the one who's in control. He's writing this story, and all the way from Genesis 3:15, he said that there was going to be a Savior to save humanity from our sins. And after he established the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, many of them were anticipating, looking forward to this Messiah, to the Savior. And finally, though, we find in the New Testament that Jesus does come. He comes in the form of a baby being born in the city of Bethlehem. And from there, 30 years later, he begins his ministry by preaching the good news and preaching about repentance and turning to him. The Messiah was the one prophesied thousands of years before, was now right in front of the people. He was there to see with their own eyes. He was there to hear with their own ears. And he was there to touch with their own hands. Have you ever had someone say to you, I'll believe it when I see it with my own eyes? You may have said it when your kid brother, your younger brother said, I just beat our newest video game. You're like, no, I'll see it when I believe it. Or you may have said it when your friend called you and said, that one friend who you guys never thought was going to get married was engaged. You're like, I'll see it when I believe it. Okay? Or maybe if you're a parent, when your teenage daughter tells you, I'm going to clean her room. Yeah, I'll see it when I believe it. Unfortunately, seeing something with our own eyes and hearing something with our own ears does not always lead to belief. This was the case for those who lived during Jesus' day. And it's still the case for us living in the 21st century. For God has given us everything he wants us to know about him and salvation that is found in this book, the Bible. And this is the problem we are addressing in this morning's message. Have we gotten so much into the habit of just doing church? Just listening to a message, maybe breaking open the Bible once in a while, that we're missing Jesus Christ? Have we just got into the habit of just coming to church, but not having our hearts touched by the living Savior? This is what we're talking about this morning. And this is the parable that Jesus is talking about to help awaken people from their spiritual slumber, so that they may have their eyes opened and their ears open to seeing who this Jesus Christ is that was prophesied thousands of years before. So what we're going to do is take a look in our passage this morning, or our message this morning. It's broken down into three parts. And as we enter into each part of the message is when I'll read the section of scripture that accompanies with. So let's begin with point number one. It is this: all have ears to hear. All have ears to hear. If you have children, you know that children having ears does not guarantee that you're being heard. I'm sure many of you experienced, in a very frustrating way, the action of selective hearing. But selective hearing doesn't just stay within Homo sapiens, but it also occurs within Canis lupus familiaris, also known as the common dog. The reason why I say this is my parents had a dog named Kobe, named not after the basketball player, but named after the soccer player. Okay, but he is half Akita and half Shar Pei. So he has a nice wrinkly face, real cute, and then a 100-pound body that accompanies it. Okay, and so whenever my wife and I would go to visit my parents, I was so excited to see Kobe. You know, so I'd be sitting there, hey, Kobe, how you doing? You're missing me, huh? You know, I'd be like, come over here, say hi to me, let's play. And every once in a while, he'd give me the look, like, look at me, and turn away from me, and then turn his back from me. I mean, come on, I'm here to talk, you know, I'm here to hang out with you. And he would just totally ignored me. I was like, come on, are you serious? I've come here to see you, and you don't want anyone to play with me. Okay? And then I knew the secret, though. I would go to the kitchen, or, you know, go to the side, and I'd just crinkle some cellophane like I'm opening a bag of chips. And from his, he'd be laying down, and then as soon as he hears, his ears would, like, pop up like radar. And then what is so good about this, he would come up and kind of, like, stretch, like, oh, I'm done with my nap now. So he kind of stretches, and just kind of trots over to me. And it's like, oh, what do we have here? And I think you called me, huh? You know? It's like, get away from me, you selective hearing, right? All of us have ears, but what are we listening to? What are we listening to? And it is at this point now that Jesus tells a parable to the crowds that are surrounding him. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll begin with chapter 13 and taking a look at from verse 1. Here is God's word. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky grounds, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. What we see now from this passage is this: Jesus is sitting in the boat and he's teaching to the crowds that are along the shoreline. And as he teaches them, he uses this parable to explain to them about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because all of chapter 13 are given in parables, but every parable gives an aspect of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is what Jesus does as he teaches. The question for us this morning, though, is what is a parable? What is a parable? And so since I went to seminary and spent a lot of money, I'm going to give you a Greek lesson. That will take a minute. The word parable that we have in English comes from the Greek word parabole. And this word parabole is actually two words kind of scrunched together. The first part is the prefix, para, which means alongside of. And the second part is the verb, balo, meaning to throw or to lay aside. And this word, when they put together, parable is to put one thing alongside of another thing for the sake of comparison. So a parable for us is taking a common everyday occurrence that has a deeper spiritual meaning. That is how parables are used in Scripture. Simple stories trying to bring about a deeper spiritual truth. In the parable we've just read, Jesus describes a sower, something that everyone on that seashore has seen before. And what he's trying to do, though, is saying, not only am I telling you a story, but I want to teach you something about this. I want to teach you something about the kingdom of God. And what we'll do is we'll cover more about what this meaning of this parable is in this third part of our message. But there's one word I want to point out from just the text that we had just read. It's from verse 9. It's the word hear, H-E-A-R, hear. It's not an unusual word. But Jesus is using it in two different ways that may kind of seem confusing. But the first way is this. He's saying, I want you to hear, meaning audibly. I want you to hear the story of the sower. Okay? So it's just a surface level meaning. So as he talks and as he preaches, he's saying some people and most of you are hearing. It's just the surface level. But he says there's another meaning to this word hearing. It is actually having the deeper understanding. So it's the surface level, the story about a farmer. But he's saying, no, it's more than that. I want you to hear the deeper level that this is teaching us about the kingdom of God. And you're going to see this word hear 15 times in our 23 verses that we're going to go through this morning. And what Jesus is asking of us this morning is, I want you not just to hear a story, but I want you to hear the deeper truths that I'm trying to get into your heart. So we all have ears this morning, but what are you hearing? That is the key difference between those who are seeking to embrace and to love Jesus versus those who are just casually interested in him. Which now leads us to our second point of our message. Some have ears to understand. Only some have ears to understand. It's at this point of Jesus' ministry where there's actually some substantial changes that are taking place. The reason why is Jesus has continued his ministry, and now he's at a place where these religious leaders and these enemies of Jesus are really being much more hostile towards him and the message that he's trying to bring. And it's at this point where there begins a transition where Jesus is not just teaching people outright, black and white, this is what it's going to be like. But because there's more conflict, because there's more hostility, he begins to put a veil over his message, his teachings. And this is the reason why he uses parables. And it's his own disciples, though, notice this. They're like, why are you teaching in parables now? You know, it was so clear when you first started your ministry, but what's taking place? What is the transition? And that's why his own disciples asked him the question, why do you speak to them in parables? So if you take your look in your Bibles, we'll go through verses 10 through 17. We'll read through that section of Scripture. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So the key question that they ask is, why are you speaking to them in parables? And what I think is very interesting is Jesus gives two reasons that on face value seems very contradictory. But the first reason is this. He says, I'm speaking to them in parables because I want to reveal spiritual truths to them. I want to reveal the truth about the kingdom through these parables. And the second reason he says is this. He says, I want to conceal spiritual truths from those who are not with me. This is why I'm speaking to them in parables. I want some to understand it, and then others are not going to understand it. So let us take a look at, as I explain these two things in a little bit more detail. If you take a look at verse 11, it says, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is saying there is that some, by God's grace, have their eyes and their ears opened to having the gospel and spiritual truths about the kingdom of God revealed to them. And this is why Jesus continues in verse 12, for to the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. That is the wonder of the gospel. The more you learn and live with Jesus, your heart is transformed from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. You begin to see and hear life much more differently when you become a Christian. This is the gospel-centered life, where everything you do is influenced by what Christ has done for you. This theological truth about God calling and saving you is a wonderful picture of grace. The reason why I say this is because each one of us, before God saved us, were sinners. We were enemies of God. Some of us were living in blatant sin, and others of us were living as, quote unquote, good sinners. But nevertheless, we were still enemies of God. It is not because we were so good or special that we were saved, but it's only because of God's love for us. This truth should cause us as believers to have humble and thankful hearts. Those who have been saved by the gospel are the ones whose eyes have been opened and whose ears have been opened to see and hear the spiritual truths that are found in these parables. The second reason why Jesus was using parables was to conceal the truth from those who were enemies, antagonistic towards his message. Because in the second half of verse 11, he says, but to them it has not been given. The gospel was clearly presented to many of those in the crowd, but because of their hardened hearts, they were not willing to listen. How many of you, a number of us have flown airplanes, right? And what happens as we are taxiing out in an airplane? What do the flight attendants do? They go over safety instructions, right? How to buckle your seatbelts, where the exits are in case of an emergency landing. What happens when the pressure in the cabin goes out, right? They're telling us how to survive in case there is an accident. That's kind of their message to us. But what are most people doing? Myself included. Talking, reading a magazine, daydreaming, listening to music. If we really took that message seriously, knowing that that message could save our lives, I think we'd be very different, right? We'd be listening to every word that this flight attendant is telling us. I'd be like, oh man, is my life vest really under my seat? Where are those exits? Is oxygen really going to come from the top here? But that's kind of what it was like. Jesus was giving this message, but people's hearts were hardened. They're like, I've heard this before. I don't need to hear this from you. And Jesus is saying, I'm continuing to give you the message that's going to save your life. And you think this magazine article is more important. Your hearts are hardened. Jesus was giving them the good news that was going to save them from their sins. But their ears were closed as well as their eyes. This is why in verse 13 it says, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus was standing right before them. They heard him, but they were completely missing him. Jesus continues to allow this hardening of heart to occur. The reason why is because in Isaiah, it was prophesied that when he would come, that people's hearts would be hardened. And this is why, as he explains this parable about what it means, he uses the prophet Isaiah. Because there's a section of scripture there that kind of looks like a poem in your Bibles. And that's the section of scripture that's found in the book of Isaiah. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 6, a very famous chapter because it reveals God's holiness. And if you remember, Isaiah is standing there before the throne of God, and God is there, things are trembling, and seraphim are flying all around him saying, "Holy, holy is he, Lord of hosts, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Okay? This is what is happening there. And right after this picture of God's holiness, what we see, though, is that Isaiah is commissioned by God to go out. And his commission is this. God is saying, you as a prophet are to go out to the nation of Israel and teach and preach repentance. Have your hearts change. Turn to God. Here's the tough thing about Isaiah's commission. God says, they're not going to listen to you. The more you teach and the more you preach about repentance, people's hearts are going to get harder and harder. And this is the parallel to what is happening with Jesus. The Savior that was prophesied thousands of years, the prophet that people are looking forward to, was right before them, but people's hearts were being hardened. And this is why Jesus says in verse 14, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. For us as believers, Jesus' parables should be exciting. Even though that they're difficult to understand, it should cause us to wonder, what does that mean? What is Jesus trying to teach me? What does he want to happen in my heart? What does he want me to know about his kingdom? But it was the unfortunate opposite for many other people. They didn't care. They just thought it was a nice story about a farmer throwing seed. The difference between those whose eyes and ears have been opened to the spiritual truths revealed from those who have it concealed is whether one has embraced the gospel or not. And for us as believers, we cherish the gospel because it's the news that has saved us. It's simply this. This is what the essence of Christianity is all about. The good news of Jesus Christ, meaning that God is the one who created this world. Everything in this world, including every single human. But because of sin in humanity's life, we have turned and rebelled against God. In essence, we're saying, God, I don't want to be underneath your authority. I want to be my own God. And if you look at this world and why there's so many things that are going wrong with it, you can understand because there's billions of other people who think they're God who don't want to submit to the one and true God. And it would have been a very sad state if that was the end of the story, that humanity just kept on getting worse and worse. But God sent his only son into this world so that he may take our place. He lived a perfect life and he died on the cross so that we didn't have to. He took our shame. He took our punishment. He took the wrath of God as he hung upon the cross so that we didn't have to. This is the God who we believe in. This is the Jesus Christ who we worship because he's so good. He saved us from our sins. And it is that message, if we have it genuinely in our hearts,
that allows our ears to be opened and our eyes to see how we need to be changed by how he's speaking to us through his word. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that is the same news that people are hardening their hearts over. I hope that each of us realizes how important it is to embrace that, to be able to know that we have Jesus Christ, that our eyes have been opened. Because Jesus says to the disciples, what you've been told is so special. Do you realize that your eyes have been opened? Because he continues in verse 16, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's saying, by God's grace, you see the whole picture. You see the Messiah, the one who was prophesied about for thousands of years. And for us, it should be special too, to embrace God, to know that, yes, we have this truth as well. Unfortunately for me, though, it's easier for me to go to the sports page because I think it's more exciting. Or it's easier for me to turn on the TV because I think that's more interesting. But for us, it shouldn't be the case. We should cherish and love Jesus Christ. It should continue to grow within us, our love for him. Don't let us miss seeing him. And this now leads us to our last point. What are your ears hearing? What are your ears hearing? Are your ears just hearing Bible verses right now? Just like, blah, blah, blah. Or are you trying to understand how God's word is to be applied to your life? This is what Jesus wanted to have happen in the lives of his disciples. So he turns his attention to explaining the parable of the sower found in verses 18 through 23. Here's what he explains in these verses. Jesus clearly explains the parable. He's saying the sower is Jesus Christ. The seed is the word of God, meaning the gospel. And the different soils represent people's different responses to this message. Simply said, this parable is speaking about the negative responses people have to the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Except there is one response that matters, and that is the person who hears, embraces, and understands the truth about Jesus. I believe this parable is saying that the first three soils are pictures of unbelievers. Even though they may look like believers, they are unbelievers. And there is only one response to the gospel, and that is to live solely for him, which is found in the fourth soil. And I also believe this, though, in terms of application. I believe that there are genuine believers who still struggle with some of the things that are addressed in the first three soils. They get in the way of you seeing him. They get in the way, they clog up your ears, the different things that we're going to be talking about in these three soils. So let's take a look at the four different soils. The first soil is found in verse 19, and it simply describes a path. As you know, as you continue to walk on dirt, it gets compacted and it gets hardened. With the sun and the water, it just gets hard. And as seeds are kind of thrown, some accidentally land on this path, and there's no way for the seed to get into the ground. So therefore, the birds come around and just eat the seed. It's very easy pickings for them. And the hard soil can simply be described as the unresponsive hearer. The unresponsive hearer. The word of God is preached. And for this person, it just sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, wah. You may have seen these symptoms as you've shared the word of God with others. Maybe you try to share the gospel with a family member, friend, and as you clearly present it, there's nothing that changes in their eyes. They just heard it, and that was it. That's kind of like the unresponsive hearer. They don't do anything with it. It's just blank. If that has ever happened to you like it has for me, take heart, though. Don't get discouraged. Continue to share the gospel with others. Because God is the one who changes the hardened hearts. He does what is impossible. Let me speak to the believers, though. I want you to know that an occasional unresponsive heart can lead to a deadly habit. What I mean by this is an example I'll give. One Sunday you come to service, and as the message is being preached, you're thinking about all the things that you need to do, all the errands you need to do that day, because it's a busy weekend. You need to take care of those things on Sunday. So you just hear kind of the Bible passage, but then you spend most of the time thinking about what you need to do. The next Sunday, though, the Word of God is being preached, and you are starving because you forgot to eat breakfast. You're like, your stomach's growling, like, oh man, I hope people don't hear that. Oh, my stomach's growling. Oh, where are we going to go eat lunch today? Because I can't wait. There's this new place that I read about. And next thing you know, let's close in prayer. Ooh, okay. The next week after that, you start dreaming. Lakers versus Celtics. Revenge, baby, revenge. Okay? And little do you know that as you are unresponsive to the Word of God on week after week after week, your heart becomes a little harder, a little harder, and a little harder. It's a terrible and deadly habit that may get into. And this application is for the youth here. Okay? You know, again, my hope, and I know all the youth advisors, we've spoken about this, is that when you come to service, that I hope that you don't tune out during the message. Okay? I hope that you don't. Because 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, the more you get into the habit of not having a responsive heart to God's word, the harder it's going to be for you to change your heart later on. And that's my heart for you, that you will not look like you're so interested on the outside, but you don't care on the inside. I hope that you look interested on the outside as well as having soft hearts on the inside as well. And that message is for all of us too. That we need to have soft hearts that are responsive to God's word. Unresponsive hearers don't hear, and they miss Christ. The second soil is exciting because the person who hears the gospel is seemingly on fire for Jesus Christ. For verse 20 says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But unfortunately, there is no root for their faith because the seed fell on top of the rocky ground. This soil can be described as the superficial here. The superficial here. Seeds that are going to the ground, but underneath this layer of dirt is rock. And there's no root for this plant to grow in. And what happens when this heat, scorching heat comes up, is that this plant withers away. Jesus says that the scorching heat for the superficial here are tribulations and persecutions. And I really think that there's kind of a wrong belief out there that sometimes people believe when they come to faith, they think, well, God, I'm special, right? I've come to faith. I've done you a favor. And when problems arise, they're like, God, this wasn't in the deal. I read the fine print. I'm supposed to have a problem-free life. But as we read the Gospels, it's very much the opposite. Christ says, when you come to faith, actually there's going to probably be more suffering and more trials in your life. And the reason why he says that, if you take a look at the end of verse 21, it says, and when tribulation and persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The superficial hearer who looks so promising will walk away from Jesus because he or she is not willing to endure the trials because of the faith. This persecution may be a loved one breaking a relationship with you. This persecution may be friends continually taunting and ridiculing you. This persecution may be the bickering of a spouse who keeps complaining about how she is always ruining the family plans because of church on Sunday. For new and mature Christians, we must realize that suffering and trials will come. They should be expected, but here's the difference from the world. We do not walk through these trials alone. We believe in a God who's sovereign and whose plan is perfect. We believe in a God who, in the midst of trials, is for God's glory and for our good. For when we are in the darkest of storms, the loneliest of times, and when all seems lost, we must remind ourselves that this is when Christ is most closest to us. We will speak more about how to be joyful in trials next month as we go through the book of James. But I want you to realize that in the midst of suffering, Christ has not left you. Christ wants to bring you closer to him. And the third soil is explained in verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. This illustration is so vivid, for it describes the worldly hearer. The worldly hearer. The worldly hearer is led away from Christ by two things. First, the cares of the world, and second, the deceitfulness of riches. Ultimately, a person's savior is not Jesus Christ, who is a worldly hearer, but the things of this world, or the things that will take away the worries of this life. The shine from the bling blinds his eyes. The sound of other people offering peace drowns out the truth of the word of God. The feeling that I can take care of my own worries fills this person's soul. Often, though, in our circles, it's not the one who is completely obsessed with frivolous spending, but it's this. It's the steady deposits into a savings account or retirement fund. It may be an educational degree. It may be trusting your health. For the worldly hearer, these types of things, even though that they are not bad in and of themselves, becomes one's savior because it provides security, it provides safety, or it provides hope. Anything in this world can become an idol. Anything in this world can become an idol in our hearts. The way to recognize if something has become an idol in your heart is asking you this question. Has a good thing become the most important thing in your life? Has a good thing become the most important thing in your life? Meaning, what if that one thing is taken away from you? How would you react to that? For Christ is saying, worldly hearers, leave Jesus Christ for the other things of this world. Have you been missing Christ because you have been slowly becoming a worldly hearer? And the last soil is the soil we all want to be as Christians. The soil represents the responsive hearer. For verse 23 says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears and hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. The key characteristic of the responsive hearer is the word understands. The word understands means to have an intelligent grasp of the truth that leads to a change in a person's thinking and a person's lifestyle. So as the word of God is being spoken, is it falling upon your mind and upon your heart that has caused you to think, how do I need to change so that I can honor God more, which then will lead to actions, outward actions, that represent the change in your heart? That is what a responsive hearer does. Their lives are changed by responding to the word of God. Here's another interesting fact about this word understanding, though. It's not based on how smart you are. It's not based on how smart you are, but it's allowing God and the Holy Spirit who's inside of you to cause change, to be open to it so that God may use you. And it's not based on your intellect, your IQ score, but it's on by God's grace, allowing you to be changed so that your eyes, your heart may be opened. This is why Jesus reminds his disciples, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This understanding is a gift from God. And a response to this gift for as Christians should be obedience, leading to fruit as a Christian. And you may ask, what does this mean? What does it mean to have fruit in your life? Well, it can start off with looking at Galatians chapter 5. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are these growing in your life? Are other people, as they interact with you, are their lives being changed because your words are seasoned with Christ's love and wisdom? Are you letting the Word of God, as you listen to it on Sunday mornings, as you read it during the week, is it bringing about change? Is it bringing about a difference in your actions and your attitude? For the result of hearing and understanding is fruit. And here's the thing. A lot of us will get caught up into, you know, kind of like, so how much fruit am I bearing, you know? Am I a 100-fold person fruit, or am I 60, am I 30? Here's what it is. Continue to live obediently to God's word. That is your responsibility. God will be the one who grows the fruit in your life. Live obediently to Christ, and the fruit will come. Here are three things that we can do on a very practical level on a Sunday morning to be responsive hearers. The first is this. As the message is going on, be prayerful. What I mean by this, as you may be listening, you may, gosh, that is so true. And you may just lift up a quick prayer during the message saying, Lord, help that to be changed in my life. You know, maybe praying just for someone who you know. It may even just be praying for me as I preach. But be prayerful as you listen to the word of God, that God may do something in it. The second is this. Is sometimes just choosing one or two things. As you listen to the message, is finding one or two ways to apply the word of God to your life. Be specific. Be very tangible. And write it out, just on your notes, or write it somewhere that you will remember this one thing. I want to see it. I want to apply this in my life this week. And you begin to develop a habit of applying God's word to your life. And the third is this. Let your Sunday morning begin on Saturday evening. It's kind of what Jason had spoken about a few weeks back. Get a good night's sleep so that you're awake. You can arrive on time to church. Another is on Saturday evening, just being able to be prayerful, asking the Lord, give me a soft heart that I may receive your word. Maybe just praying for the service, praying for the preacher, praying for the worship team, so that your mind already is being prepared to worship the living God. And these are just three quick things to be responsive hearers. And so what we've seen is that all of us have ears, but what are we listening to? What are we allowing to change our hearts? And my heart for this morning's message is this. Simply that every single one of you will know and desire to know Jesus Christ so much more. That is my hope from this message. That it will have caused within you a reigniting of passion to know him more. To not just go through the motions of church, but to know that one day you will have to stand in front of Christ Jesus. And it would be a tragedy if you were a regular attendee of Lighthouse Community Church, but you had to stand in front of Jesus, and one, he either says, you squandered your time because you never put into practice the word that was preached to you, or even worse, is for Jesus to say, away from me, for I never knew you. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that each of us, that God, by God's grace, he changes our hearts that we may be responsive to the gospel message and to have our lives changed by his word. That is my hope, that we may be fruitful for God's kingdom and his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray and ask for your grace to change us. For those who are non-Christians here, Lord, I pray for them that they will have noticed and seen what this gospel message is all about, that you will grant them humble hearts to ask for your forgiveness, and that they will embrace in faith Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And I also pray for us as believers, Father, that you would be gracious to us, that we may be responsive hearers, that you may help us to love you more. Father, we thank you for this time. Now do a good work in our hearts as we go from here. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.